You're listening to Washington's Drive at 5 on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The person that was injured by the hatchet, do we know what kind of injury that was?
Like I said, we described it as superficial. It appeared to be not much more than a bad bruise. I believe it was on the shoulder or arm.
So a person was bruised on the shoulder or arm, and that's the most serious injury in this whole thing, outside, of course, the...
Well, I'm sure that the folks with the pepper spray exposure weren't too happy as well.
Understood.
But
you're okay. They're...
Yes, they're all okay. We don't anticipate at this point of transferring anybody to the hospital, so that's good news for everybody.
Brian Haas, a spokesperson for the Nashville Fire Department, fielding questions at a press conference in the aftermath of yet another movie theater shooting here in the U.S., this one actually in the suburb of Antioch, Tennessee. At the end of the day, the gunman is killed, three have been injured. Where does this leave us now in terms of public safety and even security specifically in movie theaters themselves? Joining us on the news line to talk about it here at the Drive at 5, John Lott, president of Crime Prevention Research Center. Mr. Law, welcome back to WMAL. Thanks very much for being here.
Oh, great to talk to you.
Another shooting in a movie theater. Your initial thoughts?
Well, I mean, we can be very thankful that there was a police officer there on the scene who just happened to be in the theater right when this killer started his attack, or this attempted killer. Unfortunately, you're not going to have a police officer at all the movie theaters, and they're not going to happen to walk into the right theater at the right time. So the question, what's the backup? You have some people talking about having metal detectors at movie theaters, but, you know, the attack in Colorado wouldn't have been stopped by a metal detector. The killer in that case had figured out how to get his guns in through one of the emergency exits at the back of the theater there. So, you know, the question is, what do you do when those types of things fail? You know, if we can't spend enough money to have police officers at all possible targets, I mean, not just movie theaters, but restaurants and everything else, what do you do? And I think people are beginning to start talking about letting permit holders in more of these places. This is another movie theater that happened to post signs that ban permanent concealed handguns.
And right.
In the Lafayette Theater, there were six movie theaters in the area. Two of them posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns of the six. The killer went to one of those. In the James Holmes one in Aurora, Colorado, there were seven movie theaters showing the premiere of the Batman movie.
Right.
Within a 20-minute drive, he went to the only one of the seven movie theaters that posted a sign. My understanding, I haven't gone through it yet in Nashville, but it's relatively rare. There's only probably a couple, it appears, movie theaters in the area that have signs banning permanent concealed handguns, and this killer just happened to go to one of them again.
Yeah. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, on our news line here on the Drive at 5 at WMAL. You say that you really believe that the liberty, the freedom to arm oneself, even with a concealed weapon, that's becoming more and more attractive. In other words, there's growing opposition, you believe, Dr. Lott, opposition towards declaring certain places gun-free zones, as opposed to people running out of fear and embracing the proposals of, say, a U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer. It's moving more in the gun rights direction, you believe?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's just when we had the shooting in Chattanooga, it was kind of hard for people to ignore the signs right there on the front door saying that it was a gun-free zone, or in the place where all the Navy officers were killed, was also a gun-free zone. I mean, these things don't happen at random. Since at least 1950, with just two exceptions, every single one of these mass public shootings where four or more people have been killed have occurred where general citizens aren't allowed to have bans, or soldiers aren't allowed to have guns. And, you know, at some point, people recognize, I think, that these aren't random. My guess is the entire gun control debate that we have right now would be radically different if on a regular basis, or even somewhat regular, the media, you know, while it's going down things like the type of weapon used or how the person obtained it, would just throw in the fact that this is yet another case where an attack has occurred where guns are banned. Because if most right-to-carry states, Virginia, other states, you can carry your gun in virtually every place. There's usually only a few places relatively few movie theaters, relatively few malls post these signs, and yet it's not by accident, I believe, that these killers consciously pick areas where victims can't defend themselves. You know, we have all these explicit statements from killers even just this last year about why they chose places where they knew nobody was there with a gun. Even James Holmes' original target was supposed to be an airport.
John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John Lott, thank you, sir. Appreciate your analysis.